I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right. Hello and welcome back to a Thursday afternoon edition of the Chase Thomas podcast. I am the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I'm joined by a first timer from Fightful, Jeremy Lambert. Jeremy, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello. Good afternoon. I'm well. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for being here. I always want to call y'all Frightful. And now that it's spooky season in October, I think it works. So if you want to run that by Sean and see if
I'll sometimes like type it, especially in October. Like I'll accidentally type like frightful, and it's probably, you know, it doesn't come up on any. I mean, it comes up on Google searches, but it doesn't. You know, there's no actual website that associates with what we do on frightful.com. But we should register that name.
You really should. That's free. I'm not going to go out and try and claim it. That's all you guys. You can take it and run with it. I am okay with it. Jeremy, how much professional wrestling have you watched this week already? We are taping this Thursday at 3:30 East Coast time.
I feel like I thought yesterday was Friday. But it was only Wednesday. I watched Raw. I watched Impact. I watched AEW and NXT together. If we're counting weekend stuff, then I watched the New Japan stuff. That's kind of where I'm at. And then I've even watched some retro stuff. So I've watched too much. I watch too much every single week.
It sucks that like I don't like disliking weekend wrestling as much as I do sometimes, where I already sighed because I know it's Bound for Glory and Hell in a Cell this weekend. And
yeah,
I'm excited for the Bound for Glory card, and we'll get into that second. Like, but I'm not gonna lie, it fucking sucks that they're back to back on Saturday and Sunday, and then we got Raw, then we got Impact, then we got AEW, then we got NXT and SmackDown, and it's all over again. Like, it's so much content. I joke with other people, and pro wrestling is just that. Like, I'm so glad that ROH is irrelevant. Like, I can't. Like, I'm rooting against it actively. That I want it to fail so that I don't have to add that back into my weekly watching experience. Like, I want less, so I'm actually rooting for failure. I love these people. I love pro wrestling, but I'm not going to lie to the people. I am rooting for failure. I'm rooting for NXT to fold. That would be great if we just knocked that out and went straight to Raw and SmackDown. Another 2 hours out of the week off the books. hey, sign me up. I want you employed. Just put everybody on Raw and SmackDown. That is my like hottest wrestling take, is I'm rooting for failure so I have less content to watch each week.
We banned NXT from our podcast.
Oh, like,
I'll watch it because I'll have to like keep up with it for like news stories and stuff. But as far as like talking about it on our podcast, we're like, yeah, we're not watching this. Like, it's, I don't think it's a great product, especially since they moved to USA. Mm. It just, there isn't a lot to like hook me in to a lot of their shows. So yeah, we banned that from our podcast. And then ROH, I'll like binge watch a lot of stuff. I would probably binge watch Impact, but they send us the screeners every Tuesday. And so I'll watch it and get some news stories out of that. Sometimes I just
also,
watch
Impact's
it in
awesome.
The afternoon instead of.
They do the best behind like, the scenes stuff. They do. WrestleHouse was like one of my favorite things this year. WrestleHouse, I miss every week.
I hated WrestleHouse.
Oh, well, see, that's what we call an incorrect opinion in the biz. How did you hate WrestleHouse? Did you really not love the AC Romero Diener fight that lasted for 15 minutes?
It was, I like campy like stuff like that. Like I'm all about popping yourself and things like that. I don't know. It was just like almost too inside and too stupid for even me. And like, I didn't like that like Taya was part of it and Kylie was part of it. They're doing great stuff now. But yeah, it was not for me. I think the other issue I had with it is it was a little too close to home after the Hannah Kimura stuff. Mm. And so I know that wasn't their intention and I get it, but it was so soon after that. I was just like, is this the best time to be doing all of this? So it just wasn't for me.
Okay. I'm going to give you my like hottest Impact/pro wrestling individual take. Are you ready for this, Jeremy?
Let's go.
I struggle with this and I apologize to Daniel Matheson ahead of time, friend of the pod. I think TJP is the best wrestler right now in the world.
Oh my God. What is this?
So every match I watch, like, he's just so crisp. Like, he's my favorite. Maybe I should rephrase this. He's my favorite wrestler to watch. Like, okay. He is so damn crisp and clean. And he had this DDT under Chris Bay this week that it's just everything he does is his counters and just how clean he is going around the ring, turning things into submissions from 450 splashes into submissions. Like, he just feels like he figured out professional wrestling. Does that make sense? Where like he knows every single move that's coming, he knows everything to do, he knows where to be, how to make certain things look painful, how to make certain things hit, he knows how to sell, he knows how to do everything in the ring. Like, he's just so damn good, and he's so fluid. Like, he's the most fluid professional wrestler I've seen in a long time.
Do you run TJP's Twitter account?
No, I don't.
Okay, because these are all things that he says about himself.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, take all of that away. Take all. I am just saying, if I had to put on tape of just 1,000 wrestlers, and I just watched tape, but I didn't know anything about them, I just watched them all work for weeks at a time, and I went through them all. I think he would pop to me the most, I guess.
That's right. Like, I don't have an issue with his in-ring work. Mm-hmm. I do find it tough to, like, get into him because of his out-of-ring stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, his in-ring work, he's a very good professional wrestler. I just wish he would kind of clean up his act outside the ring.
Yeah, I don't know if that's coming, Jeremy. I'm not sure, but he's just
he thinks very highly of himself, which,
but
I mean,
he should,
confidence
because
is good,
he's actually that good. He is that good of a professional wrestler. He really is.
But I mean, he's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way with stuff, and so it's not, you know, there's obviously a difference between confidence and cockiness, and I think he, at least in the minds of even some of his peers, have crossed that line.
Oh, you know something, Jeremy.
I don't know any. Well, I have no scoops. I have fake scoops. That's what I do. I got banned from doing fake scoops because they were too on the nose. So they banned my gimmick on that. I mean, all you got to do is search on Twitter. Like, people, you can look on Twitter and see what people are saying, like actual wrestlers are saying about TJP and what they think of him.
Mm. Retribution. A lot of people were talking about Retribution on Raw and how all that went down. Raw is the worst television program in professional wrestling. Do you
it's
agree?
So bad.
Raw it's, is a terrible, terrible program.
3 hours?
Yes. Not only
three
are you...
3 hours?
Yeah, it's 3 hours, which is already, like, Raw can never be good. And this is something I write all the time about, where it's just, like, you have to grade Raw on a curve. Because I'll never enjoy Raw. Raw, for 3 hours, will never be an enjoying experience for 3 hours. Professional wrestling was just not meant to be this long. Like, it just... It's too long. And they don't... Like, it's never going to be great. It's never going to be like, wow, didn't even look at my watch once. 3 hours is over. Great. What a time. Fun was had. We're going to have a good time, as SmackDown likes to remind us. But it's just... I was watching the debut of Mankind after WrestleMania 12, I want to say, this week. And
yeah,
this was the Raw after WrestleMania. And this was a season premiere for them. And they introduced Wildman and Mark Mero. They introduced Mankind. HBK had a celebration promo with Vince. And it was a 1 hour show. Quick, painless, done. But also, they restarted everything. They started new feuds. Diesel was getting ready to get involved with HBK and Bret Hart. They put him over, blah, blah, blah. But it felt like a new season, right? Because everything that was building up to WrestleMania 12 was over. Like, they're, hey, this happened. Now we're turning the page. That's what WrestleMania used to be, was a turning of the page after a year long of work and commitment and all that. Everything came to a head, and then you flip the page. Now they just called this the season premiere of Raw. They got a new theme song and they just moved over the SmackDown people, because I like counted the amount of matches that included SmackDown wrestlers against each other, and I think they only had one non-SmackDown versus SmackDown guy compete on this show. But like, this is not new, and this is like all the trash that SmackDown didn't want anymore. They're like, yeah, just give us the Mysterio Rollins stuff and you can take everything else. And just gave it to Raw, and it's just bad. It was bad everywhere. They're like, I really don't like being this negative about professional wrestling, but like, this was really bad all across the board, and it was so boring. And I don't know, I couldn't even get like annoyed at the Retribution stuff. But like, this show, is it salvageable? Like, what are they doing? This is not a season premiere. Everything is still going on. The stuff that was happening on SmackDown last week is still happening. This is not a season premiere. I really just would love to get like 30 minutes of Vince McMahon and just be like, hey man, what do you think a season premiere actually means? What do you think a WWE draft is actually supposed to be? How do you think drafts actually work in real sports? Like, there are so many questions that I have for him where I'm just like, what is this? But how did you come to this conclusion?
They just throw these buzzwords around. What's up?
I'm fired up. I apologize.
Oh, you're fine. They just throw these buzzwords around to pop ratings and stuff. Season premiere, WWE draft, and all this stuff. I don't take any of it serious. You kind of touched on it as like, you can't get annoyed at this stuff anymore, because if you do, like, you're just hurting your own mental health at this point. Like, it's just, it's a bad show, and I legitimately just like laugh at it right now. Like, I do not have the energy to get like angry at it. Like, the good stuff, which there's not much of it, I'll enjoy, and everything else, like, I just take it as like a comedy, or I just dismiss it. And I wish it was different. I wish like I had some type of investment in this stuff, but I don't, especially on Raw. Like, I don't have that much investment. It's just like, all right, we've got this Orton and McIntyre feud going on for 3 months now. The Keith Lee stuff, it's like, they could have made him, they didn't. Retribution, you could tell that was gonna be treated like a joke right off the bat. I don't even know what else is like happening on Raw. The Hurt Business is good. I like them, but I don't know
they have exactly
what
one
it's actually
team
leading to. Yeah, like, I don't know what any of this stuff is leading to. They just scrapped Raw Underground out of nowhere. Like, things just end. Like, Charlie Caruso tweeted it, of just the Garza and her storyline. She was just like, it just randomly stopped. And it's like, this is what happens in
the
WWE.
Vince McMahon
this is why
story.
I can't get invested. Yeah, it really is. Like, plans change, pal. Like, that. Yeah. That's the Vince McMahon story. Like, this is why I can't get invested into any of this, because I know they're not going to like actually make, like when Mustafa Ali came back and he picked up the win against MVP, like people are going crazy. Like, oh my God, Ali's back. This is great. And I'm just like, give it 2 weeks. It won't mean anything. And like, this is what they've conditioned us to think. And so that's how I think. And it makes it an easier viewing experience for me, because I think if I still had some investment, I would really get angry and just disappointed by a lot of stuff that they do. But because I've just been beaten down so much by their illogical booking, I'm just like, all right, well, this is what I expect to happen. And it's exactly what happens. I look forward to the draft. Like, I looked forward to it last year. I looked forward to it this year because it is that real sports stuff. And I love that in wrestling.
They changed the rules like mid-show. Yeah.
Right. Like they don't do it in like a real sports kind of feel.
Also,
like,
who's drafting? How does this even work? Is Adam Pearce drafting for both shows? How does this even work? Who were like, what is even happening? How do they not even have USA and Fox executives coming out and just being like, at least establish some sort of like power structure that is making decisions for their shows? It makes no sense.
Well, that's what they want to do, is they're like, oh, they talk to the network, USA and Fox and stuff. I mean, we don't see them. We had the little draft room that they did last year.
That was not good.
But if you look at it like that, then it's like, all right, why would USA draft Retribution? Like, why would they want these people on the show when their whole goal is to destroy WWE? They're destroying
Bonnie
equipment.
Hammer on the phone.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. So yeah, none of it makes sense. And I watch it. I have to cover it for the site and stuff. And we talk about the stuff, but like, I'm past the point of having any type of investment in this stuff. I think SmackDown on the whole, generally not bad grading on like the WWE curve. Raw is just 3 hours. And like after the first hour, I'm like, shit, there's still two more hours in the show. Yep.
I hate writing about it. Like, it's my Tuesday mornings, knowing that I have a 3 hour Raw to parse through is I'm not a fan. With all that being said, do you think Randy Orton should go over on Sunday against Drew McIntyre?
I thought he should have gone over at the last pay-per-view. I don't know where they're going.
I think
this
he has
stuff.
To at
like,
this
I
point.
Really
he can't don't. Lose this many times.
So here's the thing. I'm with you in that I don't think he can lose this many times either. Because like, why are you going to beat him three times? And like, he suffered the Keith Lee loss in the middle of this as well. So why extend the feud three matches if you're just going to beat him all three times? The thing about that is like, if McIntyre or if Orton wins, I don't know who's challenging him next. Like, they have not built up any type of baby faces to challenge him. At least with Drew, you've got AJ, you could easily slot in that position, and you've got The Fiend. And like, I don't know if The Fiend is a face or a heel, but they love just putting this guy in the title picture. And so at least those two are there for him. If Orton wins, I don't know where they're going, because their second baby face on Raw is, I think, Keith Lee. I think. I don't know that for certain, but I think it's him. And they haven't heated him up at all. At least he has the win over Orton, but then he just lost to Braun on Monday. So it's like, what are we doing here? I actually, my podcast partner has kind of convinced me that McIntyre is going to win, and then either on Sunday or Monday, he's going to be attacked by The Fiend, and that's the next title program.
Oh, that you were to say Otis is going to cash in right after he beats Orton in Hell in a Cell.
Oh, God. God, I guess he could. He's technically on SmackDown, but I guess
he was on Raw this week and he was dressed up as whatever.
Yeah.
I thought that was their way of writing him in to Raw. Is he going to stay on SmackDown?
I think he's going to stay on SmackDown. This is the problem with like, they do the draft and they're like, yeah, brand split and stuff. And then we see him on Raw. We see the Riot Squad on Raw, and they go about this roundabout way of saying, oh, this is the last time. Like, what makes this the last time? Your draft was last week. Like, all right, I guess because it's the season premiere, because they had Raw guys on SmackDown for the SmackDown season premiere, so they can do SmackDown people on Raw for the Raw season premiere. So maybe Friday is like the official start of the brand split, but they don't explain these things in any logical detail. They're just like, it's the last time. It's like, okay, but why is this the last? Why should we believe you on this?
I think you should always take Vince McMahon's word for it.
Whatever he's feeding Tom Phillips and Michael Cole, just believe him.
Who is even running Raw? Do you know? Who's like, is Bruce Pritchard still? He's doing both. Like, he is signing off on everything.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Vince is signing off on everything, well, I mean, but Pritchard is
leading creative on Raw right now.
Right. He's leading it as much as he can be leading it. I don't know how much power he actually has, honestly.
Did you see the report about Triple H and Stephanie both knowing that they could take Raw if they wanted to, and they're like, nah, hard pass. We're good.
I did. I think Sean posted that on Fightful Select. I think Triple H is just happy doing NXT. Stephanie's obviously just happy being the female leader of the world and stuff. So I think they're both good not having to deal with Vince and that frustration. Like, they know. They definitely know.
Yep. I think they're waiting it out. Like, they're kind of hibernating, or Triple H is hibernating in NXT, where it's just like, eventually Vince is going to be like, yeah, I'm good. And then I think Triple H would take both control, like, of Raw and SmackDown. But he's like, I think I'm good here. If he could hand, because then he could just actually develop the pipeline that I'm sure he probably wants from NXT to Raw and SmackDown, where Gargano is used effectively and he can control when he gets moved up and where he goes and how he's treated on the main roster versus NXT. But until that point comes, I don't know why you would leave NXT. I don't know. I hope they hire somebody else. I hope they split it up again, but I don't think that's coming anytime soon, it seems like. You excited for Bound for Glory?
I'm looking forward to it. Like, I don't mind Impact. I guess my issue, it's a good show. It's a good show every week. Like, it's a pretty easy watch and everything. Like, they have good matches. I like the majority of the wrestlers and their, some of their backstage stuff and their like
they
vignette
talk like
stuff
human beings.
Is like excellent. Yes, exactly. My issue kind of with Impact is like, they're just perpetually stuck in the same place. And so it's tough for me to get excited of like, okay,
wait,
this is
that,
like, this is
going to
change
place.
Things for him.
What do you mean?
Like, they're just on Access. They're doing the, I mean, everybody's doing empty arena shows, but theirs feels so much more lifeless because they're actual empty arena shows. And they're never going to surpass WWE. They're not even going to surpass AEW at this point. Like, they just feel, they have a TV deal, and it's not a bad TV deal, but there's just so much wrestling to consume right now that Impact just doesn't like stand out compared to how it used to be when they were on like Spike and stuff. Like, it just doesn't feel like they make any headway. All their events are good, their TV shows are good, but like, for how long? You can go back to like the Lucha Bros and LAX stuff. Like, that was great stuff. And everyone was like, oh, this is great for Impact, this is great. And it's like, they've made no actual like forward progress since that time. Like, they're still kind of in that same spot.
I don't think there's any forward progress to go towards, though. I think everything other than like really AEW needs to just find their niche, find a good number, a weekly number to hit, and just be happy. Just put like, employ a bunch of talented people, put on a good show every week, put on a good pay-per-view once a month, and just do good work. You know what I mean? Like, you're never going to catch those big guys, and you shouldn't be focused on that. And I think now they're building a different kind of roster built around the tag team and women's division, and their weakest point is their main, just the main event scene. Like, Eric Young and Rich Swann is main eventing their show, and I think Eric Young's been really good, and he's a really good top heel. And I love the Sanity stuff, so I'm glad he just is able to just do Sanity at Jace and Impact in the world title scene. But I don't know. I think that's their one major area of weakness, just that they don't have the main event scene filled out yet. And I think that's okay, because I don't know of any other companies that I just love their tag team and women's division as much as I love Impact's. Like, I think AEW obviously has the best tag team division in the world, but I don't think their women's division matches anywhere close to what Impact is putting together.
No, Impact's tag team division. I my most anticipated match on this show is Kylie Rae and Deonna Purrazzo. Like, I would main event the show with that, because no offense to Eric Young and Rich Swann, I'm not like super excited for that match. I'm looking forward to the tag team match too. I do wish it was just Good Brothers against Motor City Machine Guns. I like the North, excellent tag team, Ace Austin, and Madman Fulton. Like they're fine, but it feels like we're just trying to put multiple tag teams in this match. And I don't think that's what like the Good Brothers are good at either. Like they're not great at just like fast paced, high action, fatal four way kind of stuff. Like they're just a really good tag team. I think they would thrive better if it was just a 2-on-2 match. But yeah, Kylie Rae and Deonna Purrazzo, like that's my most anticipated match. And I think they've done a great job on building that up. Deonna looks like an absolute star. Kylie is very relatable, very someone like you can easily get behind. So I'm excited for that match. And you're right, like Impact has carved out where they're at. And that's fine. Like, I don't have an issue where they're at. Again, I think they do good television. I think their events are almost always great. It's just sometimes it's just tough to be excited for that of like, OK, cool. Like you're like the third or fourth promotion, depending on how you feel about ROH. And, you know, how excited can I really get about this stuff when there's two promotions ahead of you? Like, I kind of look at it as like sports, you know, you have the NFL and then, all right, maybe there's like the CFL and then. And the Arena League, which I guess isn't really there anymore, the XFL, like how excited are you about like this Arena League game when there's NFL and CFL and other stuff going on?
Yeah, and there's nothing they can really do about it though, so I don't like fault Impact for that. I don't really...
No, it's not their fault at all.
Yeah, I don't... I'm just rooting for a lot of people there, and I just want them to, I think they've done the best they can, and I really hope they figure out a way to make the arena, like you said, feel more just engaged. And I don't know how they do that. Like, I don't have the answer for that. I don't know how you make Nashville bump again. It's time to move them back to the Impact Zone, I guess.
I mean, everybody's running in Florida now, so it may as well. I don't know either. Like, I don't know if they want to do fans. I don't know if that's a great idea. AEW did well, at least with, you know, having wrestlers around ringside during the early days. But I don't know if you want to, I mean, you could possibly pull that off, but then everybody's going to call you like AEW copycat and stuff. So it's just tough. But watching Slammiversary and you see like the Good Brothers who like I love, and I love that Impact people can do stuff like outside of Impact and really shine creatively in that light. But like watching them debut and come out and there's just like no reaction at all. Josh Matthews is just like screaming. Just like, oh man, this just feels so cold. Like just absolute cold.
Well, I think it's gonna be a good show. I'm excited to go through this and I hope it pans out. The Young Bucks on AEW, the best professional wrestling show and the best company in professional wrestling right now. Are they finally going to get the tag team gold? And also, a two-part question here, Jeremy. Are we sure FTR is good?
I don't think the Bucks will win this match. Eventually, they'll get the titles. I don't think they will win this match. I feel like they've lost the plot with this feud because, like, That closing segment on Dynamite just was I supposed to feel sympathy for the Young Bucks that they got attacked? Like they've been going around super kicking people for weeks now and acting like they don't give a shit about anything. Like they super kicked Tony Schiavone. Mm. Like I'm supposed to feel bad for these guys because they got attacked by FTR. Like I don't feel anything towards it. Like I don't mind the Young Bucks as heels. I think they're good, but like this is just the wrong spot, the wrong feud to like do that. With them, this was such an easy feud of, hey, who's the best tag team in the world? This is a dream match. Build them up, give them some wins. Young Bucks think their style is better. FTR thinks their style is better. Let's do it. Let's see which style is better. And instead, they try to do like this subtle, not so subtle heel stuff with the Bucks. And then same with FTR. It's like, oh, you guys are tough guys now. It didn't work at all for me. As far as FTR being good, I think they are. Like they're crisp. It's different. On AEW, like there's the fans don't react to them. And I know there's limited number of fans as there is now. The fans don't react to them as much as they did in NXT. I think the other thing is like there's just so much good wrestling in AEW that especially tag team wrestling, their stuff doesn't stand out like it did in NXT, because in NXT, like their matches with American Alpha were absolutely outstanding. It's like, that's the only tag team match you're getting on that show. That's the only tag team match like you're getting almost throughout the entire WWE, unless you're getting like a good New Day Usos match or something. Like AEW, you flip it on every Wednesday, you're probably just going to get a good random tag team match between like the Lucha Bros and the Best Friends. So the FTR stuff like just doesn't hit as much as it did in NXT, but they're a good tag team.
They're fine. I speaking of that Raw after Mania in 96 that I cited earlier, is there is Sonny's tag team group that have the exact same build. The Donna Bros, what are they? I forgot the name off the top of
my head. Yeah, the Body Donnas.
Body Donnas, that's it. That's literally how FTR works. Have you ever watched their stuff?
The Body, yeah, Skip and Zip?
Yeah, okay. Go back and watch that, and then like think about FTR as you're watching them. I'm telling you, it's really weird, but that was something I wrote down when I was watching that show. I was like, this is actually how they work. This is really strange. This is who FTR reminds me of. I don't know, man. I think they're fine. Like you said, they're someone you want in your stable of tag teams, your collection of solid, reliable tag teams. But like, they're, I was at the best AEW show they've ever put on in Atlanta, that ended with Cody on top of the steel cage and everything. But Lucha Bros and the Young Bucks, when they're going, like, it's just, there's a different level, and I just feel like it's kind of insane that AEW, like Kenny and Paige are obviously great, and they were just an amazing tag team unit. But like, it's kind of amazing that two of the first three tag team champions in AEW are like their most boring acts, and FTR and SoCal Uncensored, like, they're not like, are you big Scorpio Sky mixed with Christopher Daniels mixed with Kazarian guy? Because I was just never into them, and it's still kind of amazing to me that that's who they picked. Like, you have Private Party, who's awesome. You have just the up and down the list of AEW right now and how stacked they are in the tag team division, that's where the tag team is gold. I kind of want them to put the belts on the Young Bucks just as like a reset to build up the other fun tag teams and just have fun tag team matches all over again, because I was very bored with SCU and just FTR so far. Is that fair?
SCU, I like Scorpio Sky. The Daniels is, I mean, he's a veteran. He's still good in the ring, but obviously time catches up with everybody, and he's just lost the stuff. And kind of the same thing with Kazarian. Like, all these guys are very, I mean, the Kazarian and Hangman Page singles match from like a month ago was excellent.
It was good, yeah.
Like, I love Scorpio Sky. I was glad he got that shine right there. I don't have an issue with FTR. I think the AEW, they're very conscious of, I mean, Omega's probably about to be going for the world title. Cody's your TNT champion. You put the titles on the Bucks, it's like, you're going to get that backlash from certain fans of, all right, all your titles are on your four EVPs. So I think at least early on, they really wanted to avoid that. And that's why we didn't see Omega in the title picture. That's why the Bucks lost the Private Party and have kind of stayed away from the title picture. I know they did the tag team match with Hangman and Omega earlier this year, but they've still, like, they haven't been that big focal point that everyone expected them to be. Cody, you know, he got the TNT title, but he took himself out of the world title picture as a result. So they're very conscious of, like, not trying to just boost themselves up and instead boosting the other teams first, because you can always go. We saw it last night with Omega. Like, he's just kind of been middling around a little bit doing the tag team thing and great. And everybody's waiting for, like, all right, when are we getting serious Kenny Omega best bout machine singles run? And he just comes out last night, squashes Sonny Kiss, and it's like, oh yeah, they're Omega's about to get the rocket, and he's about to just go off and have this big singles run, be in the world title picture, do these great matches, like, and everybody's excited for it. You can heat these guys up at any time. They're so established with the fan base that it was smart of them to sort of put others over first before they kind of, you know, made their way up to the top of the card and took all the titles.
Do you think they're actually going to have Omega be the one to beat Jon Moxley?
So my my theory, my booking, like how I would book it personally, and I don't know what they're going to end up doing. I think Omega's winning the tournament here at Full Gear. Yeah, are they going to wait from November? Because they have quarterly pay-per-view. So are you waiting from November to February to give Omega that title shot? That seems like a long wait, a long build. And sometimes when you have these long builds, it kind of just dies and it doesn't. It's tough to prolong that every single week with weekly television and everything. I think personally, I think Kingston wins the title here's how I would book it. I think Kingston, I would put the title on Eddie. Wow. At Full Gear. Yeah. Have him do like a, you know, 6 week run, do the title change on Dynamite, have Omega cash in his number one contendership, whatever, on Dynamite, do a big title change on Dynamite, because it means something. Like, you don't want to do this all the time on free TV, but this would be the first world title change on Dynamite. So it's a big deal. And then you do Omega and Moxley at the pay-per-view in February as like a thing where Kenny's like, all right, you beat me in your little unsanctioned lights out match. And that was kind of the beginning where I started to doubt myself and I had to go the tag team route and everything. Now I'm the champion. Now I'm at the top of my game. I need that. Like, I need that win back. Like, I've got to beat you for like my own personal sake. And like, that's what I would do going into February.
I hadn't even put Kingston on my radar as like a guy who I could see.
Oh, Eddie Kingston rules.
No, I'm not disagreeing with that. I love Eddie Kingston. I just, when I think about the guys here, they're like, Moxley is just, he's also just perfect. So I'm going to be so sad that like he's going to need to drop the title at some point, because I don't know who's doing better all around work than Moxley right now. So I would be nervous if I'm AEW just taking the title off of him. Because he's so great, but also Kingston's great. So I don't know. Do you think that? And also, none of it really matters because fans aren't there. So we don't really know how people will be receptive and how they would react to that kind of change and where they're going. Like that is where I really don't envy the situation that so many bookers find themselves in, is that it's so hard to get a read on these guys and if what you're doing is working.
It really is. And it's tough. I love Jon Moxley. I think I've called him really since he left WWE. Like I've called him like my favorite performer over the past year or so, because he's really like found himself and found that character. Like he's so good at, we saw in the MJF feud, like he could do a little bit of comedy. We see in like the Archer and the Brody Lee feuds, like he can just be serious, kind of tough guy. And we're seeing this now in like the Kingston feud. Like he can play like multiple roles, fill multiple roles. And none of it comes off as like, none of it, like it doesn't come off like Jericho-esque. And no knock on Jericho. Like creatively, he's extremely, extremely good. But like Chris Jericho trying to be a tough guy, you're like, all right, what are you doing? Comedy stuff, like he's so over the top with the comedy, as we saw last night in the campiness, that, I mean, that's just who he is. Moxley does it more in like a subtle kind of way. It's like, all right, you can buy him sort of doing this stuff and still taking him serious as like this big, you know, world champion and who could step up to like these tough guys and stuff. I love what Jon Moxley is doing. I would too be kind of hesitant to take the title off of him, but I mean, at some point he's got to lose the title. And I mean, Kingston and I Quit match, like there are ways you can do this without like having Moxley, you know, lose anything in the process of a loss. You know, my podcast partner, again, he pitched an idea of like, just have Moxley like threaten Renee at the I Quit match and just be like, if you don't say I quit, like I'm going to kill her. And so Moxley just says, I quit. And like Moxley doesn't lose anything. Kingston, he sold his soul to get where he's at. Now he's he's at that level. He did what he had to do to get that title, and now you go from there with that. So there's ways you can do it and protect him. I think Moxley will win, and I do think Omega will be the one to dethrone him. I don't know when that's gonna happen, but I do think they'll keep the title on Moxley. I'm just coming up with other ideas of how they can fill some TV time.
Interesting. I like it. Last thing, and we'll wrap up here. The bunny's back. Do you see this coming?
I don't know. This, when people say AEW is perfect, I like point to this stuff and I'm just like, no. Like they've got flaws as well. This whole thing is just,
well, I love that they've admitted that it turns out, like, okay, this, I gotta be careful with how I word this. Brand, like, stuff with Brandy is not going over well. They've tried this twice now. The Nightmare Collective and now Brandy and Allie. It just, it's not gonna work. I think we're noticing a trend here. Things that involve Brandy Rhodes in ring are not are not good long term.
I don't even know what they're trying to work with Allie. Like, it just feels like, all right, she's just kind of, she's there now with her husband and she's just back with them. Like, I don't know if they have like serious like role for her on the program outside their women's division. Is they haven't put like any thought into it outside of Britt Baker, who is really who's really taken her own ball and run with it. And like, you just can't deny what she's been doing on television. Like, Akira Shida is the champion, doesn't really have any feuds. Like, all of her matches just kind of going cold. Like, the Penelope Ford match was just, all right, Ford won a number one contenders match, here's your match. The Thunder Rosa stuff was just champion from another company, this is what we're going to do. Like, there's no actual substance to these feuds. We're 3 weeks away from the pay-per-view, maybe less than that. I think they have three more television shows before the pay-per-view. No, I think it's actually only two. They have two television shows before the pay-per-view. There's no inkling of like who Shida is going to face. I assume it's Baker, but there hasn't been really anything between them, any interaction. It's just Baker's just kind of been carrying things and Shida's just kind of been there. So it's kind of a mess, their entire women's division. And it's just, some of it, I get it, COVID, they weren't allowed to, you know, they couldn't have people come in who they were trying to push and stuff. Some people just like aren't ready for television, and you can see that in the matches. And then some of it is just a lack of actual like putting the effort into the division and really spotlighting it, because you're letting everything better, but there's no spotlight on the women's division.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they improve it, but I think part of that is just Impact has gobbled all the good ones. Maybe that we've undersold that part of it. Jeremy, what can we check out from you this week on Fightful?
You can go to Fightful.com and I'm somewhere on my website writing a bunch of articles. The Distraction podcast every Thursday at 7 o'clock with myself and Joseph Holbert. We talk wrestling and sometimes basketball and sometimes Taylor Swift and really a bunch of just everything. We pretend to be a wrestling podcast. We're just a whatever we want podcast. We review movies starring wrestlers every Tuesday, so you can check that out as well. That's Tuesday at 2 p.m. That's really fun. But yeah, you can go to the website, you'll see my name, you can click my name on there and see the entire archive of things that I just do on the website. And you can follow me on Twitter at JeremyLambert88.
All right, go do that. Jeremy, thank you so much for the time today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, I appreciate it, man.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast, hell yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.